Whenever we mention the Holy Quran, we have to emphasize the fact that it is the only form of divine guidance within the hands of man today that has been kept intact in exactly the same language of revelation, the Arabic language, preserved by the will of Allah, word to word and letter to letter. The mere preservation of the Holy Quran in its divine purity for more than 14 centuries is a miracle by itself. We do not know of any other book that has remained for such a long period of time without being infiltrated by human ideas. The mere fact that the Holy Quran has withstood these 14 centuries without a single letter being added to it or deleted from it is in itself a miracle. It is not because of the intelligence of the Arabs or the cleverness of the Muslims, but it is a fulfillment for the divine declaration, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Verily, we have sent down the reminder, and verily, we will always be preserving it. The mere fulfillment of this divine declaration is a testimony for the authenticity of the Holy Quran and the pure divine nature of that book at a time when all the previous forms of divine guidance to man, in which we believe in every single one of them, all the previous forms of divine guidance have been either totally lost or totally corrupted by human infiltrations. We believe as Muslims that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, has received a form of divine guidance called the Injil, or the Glad Tiding, or the Bible, as our Christian friends would like to call it. But where is the Injil of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him? It is no more there. All what the Christians have are four Gospels that are referred to Mark, to Luke, to Matthew, and to Mark, Luke, Matthew, and John. And of course, when we ask them, where is the Bible according to Jesus Christ, they don't have a single word of it. There is an international committee called the Jesus Seminar that holds a meeting in the USA every year, and they publish the results of their work. And in one of their publications that has come out very recently, they said that they have fed the four Gospels in the New Testament to the computer, and they gave the computer certain guidelines, and they asked the computer how much of these four Gospels can be referred to Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and the answer was less than 3%. We believe that Musa alayhi salam, Moses, peace be upon him, has received a form of divine guidance to man called the Torah. And when we ask the Jews of the time, where is the Torah of Moses, peace be upon him? It is no more there. There are only 5 chapters at the beginning of the Old Testament that are known as the Pentateuch. And they consider these 5 chapters to be the Torah of Moses, peace be upon him. But if you read them, you can see clearly the evidence of the human infiltration in many of the stories. You can see evidences of the distortions that have been imposed and infiltrated into the Pentateuch. The rest of the Old Testament are 41 chapters referred to ordinary men, ordinary human beings, ordinary people, that can never ever be considered to be a form of divine guidance. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is quoted to have said that the number of messengers from God to man is in the order of 315. Every single one of them received a form of divine guidance to man, and none of these is currently in existence. For example, where are the books of Abraham, peace be upon him? Where are the books of Noah? What are the books of Joseph? The books of Jacob? The books of many other names of the prophets? We have been told about 25 of them in the Holy Quran. And the rest of the 315, none of their books is still intact. And this is a privilege Muslims have enjoyed above all believers of the time, that the divine guidance that was sent down to Muhammad, peace be upon him, was preserved by a divine decree for all the time to be, without the slightest human infiltration and without the slightest human distortion. This is the only form of divine guidance within the hands of man today. Whoever believes in God, believes in resurrection after death, in accountability, in judgment, in eternity, in life to come, has to read the Holy Quran and the traditions of Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he or she are completely free to judge for themselves whether this is the word of God or the word of man. The fact that no being can imitate the style of the Holy Quran is another testimony for its divine nature. The purity of the Holy Quran from many mythologies and fallacies and misunderstandings and misconceptions of the time of revelation is a testimony for the divine nature of this holy book. The Holy Quran exists precisely as it was revealed in its original Arabic language, word to word and letter to letter. For the past 14 centuries or so, it will remain exactly the same for all time as the final integration of the divine guidance to all beings as a fulfillment to the divine promise. Many of the Christian and Jewish and non-Muslim colleagues would ask the question, weren't these previous forms of divine guidance divine? And the answer is yes. Why they were not preserved and the Holy Quran was preserved? And the answer is very simple. The Holy Quran is the last form of divine guidance to man. If it were lost, Allah forbids, Allah will have no argument against the human beings of our time or the times that came after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So being the last form of divine guidance, the divine decree was taken to preserve it, and it was preserved. We also know that the message of the Holy Quran is very evident. The message of the Holy Quran is the deen, with its four basic foundations: faith, acts of worship, the moral code, and the code that governs the transactions with others. These four basic foundations of religion cannot be correctly addressed by man, because these foundations can either lie in the domain of the unseen, the absolute world of the unseen, such as the area of faith and the area of acts of worship, or they lie in the domain of imposing controls over human behavior. And both areas can never ever be correctly addressed by man, and hence the essence of the religion. So the main message of the Quran is to teach man the correct answers for these four basic foundations. In the area of faith, we are asked to believe in God the Creator, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our senses cannot perceive him. We are asked to believe in his angels, and we have no physical means to prove or disprove the existence of angels. We are asked to believe in that long chain of messengers sent from him and in their messages. And history did not record for us enough information about that long chain of messengers. We are asked to believe in resurrection after death, in accountability, in judgment, in eternity, in life to come. And no dead man has come back to tell us his experience. In the area of worship, worshiping by definition is submission in obedience, the utmost submission in obedience to the Creator. And there can never be any obedience without instructions. So in the area of ibadah, in the area of acts of worship, unless man receives the divine guidance from Allah, divine guidance that is absolutely divine, without the slightest human infiltration, no innovation in that area can be of any value. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has denied any innovation in the area of worshiping. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, khudhu anni manasikakum, take your acts of worship after me. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray in exactly the same way you have seen me praying. Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa radd, any innovation in our matter, meaning Islam, it should be categorically rejected. You can innovate in worldly matters as much as you can, and if your innovation is useful to mankind, you will be rewarded amply for that. But in the area of worshiping, in the area of religion, any innovation is a deviation. And that's why there can never be correct worshiping without clear-cut divine instructions. In the area of moral code, we know that God the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all glory be to Him, has created man as a moral loving being. But this innate love for morality is not enough to give man enough insight to tailor for himself or for herself a moral code. The moral code has to be absolutely divinely tailored, without the slightest human infiltration. If we leave the moral code to man to tailor, he can either make it too tight to be impossible or too lax to be useless. And finally, the last basic foundation of religion is the set of controls that govern the relationships of people with each other. These relationships are absolutely important for the peaceful coexistence in this world. And the reward or punishment for fulfilling them or transgressing them is great in the scale of the Creator. God is capable, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to forgive any one of us if we fell short in achieving our worshiping to Him. But the rights of others have either to be paid duly in this world, or they have to be paid in the world to come. And this relationship starts from husband-wife relationship, parents-children relationship, grandparents to grandchildren, cousins and nephews and nieces in the same large family, neighbors with each other, colleagues at work. All these individuals have got rights and obligations, and these have to be taken seriously and have been taken justly and fairly. If these relationships are left to the human aspirations, human judgment, many injustices can take place. And that's why the most detailed form of fiqh in Islam, the most detailed jurisprudence in Islam, is fiqh al-mu'amalat, the jurisprudence that governs the transactions with others. It has been detailed beyond any detail, because it involves the rights and obligations of others. These are the main essence of the Holy Quran, and they are the basic principles on the basis of which life in this world can be carried out successfully for the achievement of the success in the world to come. Without these forms of divine guidance, the society can easily go astray, and people can easily get lost. They can create unhappinesses for themselves and for others. And hence the essence of the religion, of the deen. This book, the Holy Quran, with its basic message, guidance to man, to teach man who he is, who has created him and sent him into this world, What's his message in it? How can he fulfill that message to the best of his abilities? And what's for him after this life? This is the essence of the Holy Quran and of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet we find the Holy Quran containing lots of other informations. The Holy Quran contains a narration of the previous human settlements in many different parts of the world and their reactions towards the divine message, whether they reacted positively or negatively, and the punishment or the reward they have received. We find that these previous nations have been narrated in full, so successfully, so carefully, so precisely, so much so that many of the present day archaeologists and historians are coming to use this as a tool to testify for the divine nature of the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran speaks about these old nations, one after the other. The people of Noah, peace be upon him. The people of Ad, peace be upon him. The people of Hud, peace be upon him. Qawm'ad. The people of Thabun. The people of the Pharaohs. The people of Ashabul Ras, Ashabul Aika. Many nations that the Quran specifies clearly their reaction towards the divine message without a single mistake. This has been taken recently as a means to testify for the divine nature of the Holy Quran, because nobody at the lifetime of Muhammad, peace be upon him, knew anything about these previous nations, and even our historians of the time know very little about these old nations. The Holy Quran addresses the human soul in a way no other address can motivate that soul. And this has been taken as a subject by itself called the psychological miraculous aspect of the Holy Quran. And many psychologists have addressed that topic eloquently and very precisely. The Holy Quran contains a moral code that is beyond any judgment. And as I told you probably in the last meeting I had with you 2 months ago, that Sheikh Abdullah Draz, Professor Abdullah Draz, Muhammad Abdullah Draz, alayhi rahmatullah, made his PhD in the Sorbonne in France, and the title of the PhD was The Moral Aspects in the Holy Quran. This thesis is lying there in the library of the Sorbonne in France, and no independent person has come across that thesis without accepting Islam. We know that the Holy Quran contains many other pieces of information in different aspects of our worldly existence. Among these, we find these periodic mentioning to things of the cosmos, of the universe, of man and his surroundings. The earth, the moon, the sun, the constellations, the stars, wind, running water, thunderstorms, many forms of plants and their products, many forms of animals and their products, the successive embryologic stages of man, many things the Holy Quran mentions in more than 1,000 explicit verses. And the question was raised, can these verses be used also to testify for the divine nature of the Holy Quran? And the answer is yes. Because as you have listened a few moments ago, every messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was given enough tools to justify for his message, to testify that he is sent from the Creator. Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, each one was given a miracle from whatever his community has excelled. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, came at a time when the Arabs were at a peak of their eloquence. And that's why the Quran came down to challenge the Arabs at that peak to produce a book like it, or even 10 chapters similar to it, or even one single chapter similar to it, And this challenge is still there without anybody being able to stand up and say, yes, I could produce a book similar to the Holy Quran. I cannot touch upon all these aspects in a meeting like this. I cannot do justice to the area of scientific facts revealed in the Holy Quran, but I will touch upon very few verses, and I hope to start with the verses to complete what I mentioned last time, and then I will come to the verses I mentioned last time with some slides, because I couldn't project the slides last time. And let me start with one verse. All right.